Good morning. Thank you for those songs, Daryl. Have a few announcements and prayer requests. Melaine, all I got to do is shake my head with reading yours. Hold on. Okay. First one, Van says, praise God, no more back pain. Also, thanks everybody for our prayers. Van had a procedure this past Thursday, and as of so far, no more back pain. He's been living with that for a long time, so hopefully that will do the trick. Also, Carolyn wants everybody to know she's not going to be going to California till September, and she is taking up collections. One of the missionaries that we support, David Marub in Kenya, they need a new kitchen to, they feed a lot of the people of their congregation and so forth. It's a very poor congregation. They also have a school and they use that for feeding the kids at the school. She is taking up collection for, to help them with rebuilding their kitchen. And if you would like to participate in that, just see Carolyn and we will get them the money. This is a thank God, praise God, and a Dan and Melaine were traveling the other day. She says they were traveling 80 miles an hour and Dan passed out. She was able to get the car out of gear, pulled over, stopped without killing him. That's one. That's one thing. But the issue of Dan passing out just all of a sudden, he passed out again the following day, Tuesday, hit his head, fractured his skull, has a subdural hematoma, and was in ICU. They found out they put a pacemaker in. That was what was causing him passing out. Is that right? So he's recovering, doing better. The fact that you're here, we're rejoicing. The fact that Dan is recovering, that they figured it out so quickly without any more danger. But anyway, we have a lot to be thankful for. And, you know, she requests prayers for his healing, for the doctors and nurses, and just thanking God. Let's go to God in prayer before our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for so many things. The many blessings that you give us each and every day. Some of the specifics, dear God, is we're thankful for the procedure for Van, that he is no longer in any pain. We hope that whatever was done will last and will give him comfort for a long, long time. Thank you for that. Thank you for Van's service to you. Dear God, we ask that you be with Dan and Melaine. We are so thankful that they both could have very easily been killed this past week. And we're thankful that you spared them. We're thankful for Melaine's ability to be able to get the car stopped. And we're thankful that the doctors figured out what was wrong with Dan and got him the pacemaker. We hope that will cure all the problems that he's been having and that won't happen again. You are such a great and glorious God. Even when things don't go the way we like, dear God, you are still great and glorious, and you are our God. Dear God, we ask that you be with our missionaries. We ask that you be with the efforts of David Marub in Kenya. They do such a good work, and we ask that any of the money that is collected will be able to help them continue to do good work for you. Be with all of the missionaries continue to be with us today as we are offering worship and praise to you. We hope everything that has and will be done is pleasing to you and done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, we had a lesson. We had a lesson about how Jesus made the apostles fishers of men. How he would send them out, and one of the last things that we have recorded before he ascended back into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God was he told the apostles to go out into the world making disciples and teaching the people of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything that he has taught them. That's a message in and of itself. But it doesn't stop there. Those things that Jesus wanted from his apostles, he wants from all of his disciples. He wanted it from the disciples then. He wants it from his disciples now. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men.
Amen.
Not just Peter and James and John and the apostles. He wants us. Not some of us. Not him. Not him. Not them over there. Us. Including me. Including you. Not somebody else, us. Humna, 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 humna. They want me to be a fisher of men? A lot of people say, I just can't do that. A lot of people say, you don't necessarily need to do it from up here. It can be at a kitchen table. It can be to our children. It can be to our neighbor, to the person we work with. Or it can be up here. A lot of people say, oh, I can't get up here. Yes, you can. Men, yes, you can.
Amen.
Wants us to be fishers of men. At our men's meeting recently, one of the things talked about in the near future, we're going to be putting together, I'm kind of organizing, working on it, some training sessions for the men that want to better their skills or to even just develop those skills of public praying. Making the remarks on the Lord's table. Maybe a Sunday night short lesson. You may have never gotten up here. I think one of the reasons I've got such bad knee troubles is the knees banging together, shaking. Takes its toll over the years. You can do it. And I will be letting you know more about that, you young men, some of you older men that may have never had a speaking role, maybe never done a public prayer, maybe you've never led the Lord's Supper, maybe never have delivered a lesson. You can. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. And women, you're fishermen also. We teach others every day in the home, at the grocery store, men and women, that person behind that cashier that we see every day when we go to the store. Just by the way we conduct ourselves, we're teaching. What are some of the things, some of the skills needed to be a fisher of men? You need knowledge of the word. Oh, I just don't know. I just don't know as much as somebody else. That's easily remedied. It's no special thing. You know what? It takes time and some effort. Every one of us have the same amount of hours in the day. It takes patience. When we're studying with somebody, some people just don't pick up on it maybe as fast as others. It takes patience. Maybe they've been raised, maybe the biggest obstacle you have is overcoming some of the religious false doctrine that they have been brought up with their whole life in church XYZ. That it takes a little to overcome that before you can teach the truth. It takes a lot of patience. Some people's skulls are a little thicker. Pride comes into play. And we have to give the glory to God. Amen. Has nothing to do. It really bothers me when I see preachers get up, I've baptized XYZ number of people. Like you did it? You're the only one that had influence on them. God gets the glory. Amen. You might have had a part, but other people did too. You might have been the one to perform the baptism. First of all, anybody that's keeping track, having a little tally sheet, I'm a little concerned about that. But yes, you can. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. 2 Timothy, our scripture reading that Kurt did today. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Not pop psychology, not a feel-good story. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. You be ready when it's the time to preach and when it's not time to preach, because you never know when someone's going to ask you a religious question. You never know when the opportunity may pop up and you're on. You've been praying, open a door for me, God. God may open the door at an awkward time for you. Be ready in season and out of season. You convince them. Convince with a rational, logical teaching. Not a bunch of I think and I feels. You convince them through the word. Sometimes you need to rebuke. The word is good about that. You exhort. I don't know the last time I've ever used the word exhort in a sentence, in a conversation. Only in the Bible. That an encouragement. You convince people of the gospel. You rebuke them through the gospel. You exhort them, encourage them through the gospel. How? Paul says, with all long suffering. Some people you may have to go over it 36 times before they get, or they may be fighting that big demon called pride. They just can't make that step. You got to have long suffering with some and teaching. Good words that Paul had for Timothy, a young man. We don't know exactly how old. We don't know how old Timothy was. He was definitely younger than Paul. They had kind of a father-son relationship. Told him just a couple of verses earlier, he says, be diligent. I like how the King James, I'm using the New King James Version. I like the King James, which says, study to show yourself approved. The New King James says, be diligent. Diligence takes some effort. It just is not going to come. You're just not going to develop these skills overnight. It takes some effort. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're going to be fishers of men, we need to make sure we're bringing the right message to people. Because if we're not, we're doing more damage than we are good. What's our bait? Sound doctrine. That's how we hook the people, with sound doctrine. Let me give you an idea of what sound doctrine is not. It's not gimmicks. Have you ever been in a congregation? Tracy, am I stepping all over your lesson? Because sometimes we do that. Have you ever been in a congregation that it just seems like it's all gimmicks? Funny stories. Not a lot of gospel. Not a lot of Bible taught. Bunch of slick talking. Bunch of slick willies up there. And boy, if the preaching thing ever goes awry, they could always get a job on QVC, one of those infomercials, selling X, Y, or Z. Because that's basically how a lot of those people come across, is as a slick salesman of some product that they have no interest in at all. Bunch of razzle-dazzle. The miracles. Watch Benny Hinn on TV someday. You know, Van, you didn't go to Benny Hinn for your back, right? Because he's a guy that would fix, he would fix your back. Because he'll do a miracle. The bands. Oh, I love the bands. Loved going to the bands. Oh, I got so much out of it. Wasn't the band good today? Celebrities. Some religions will bring in a celebrity sports hero or a celebrity movie star to speak, and all the numbers rise because so-and-so's there. And of course, the next week, when they're not, the numbers go back down. But the use of celebrities, things like that, they'll preach that health and wealth gospel. Who is it? I think his name's Peter Popoff. That preaches that health and wealth gospel. He coined the phrase supernatural debt cancellation. That by following God, sister so-and-so, all of a sudden, all of her debt was wiped out. This is not what we're preaching. This is not what we're providing people. This is not the hook as fishers of men. Our bait is the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 1, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Corinth was in Greece, the birthplace of philosophy. Modern, even though it was back then, the birthplace of modern education. the birthplace of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle in Greece. And these people, they loved their philosophy. They loved thinking about things. They loved powerful speeches. Paul comes and he tells them, starting in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, his whole message just wasn't, okay, people, today's lesson, Jesus Christ was crucified. And then he sat down. But this was the basis, the center spokes of everything he taught goes back to Jesus, and Jesus was crucified for our sins and all how we can benefit from it and all that. All he taught was Jesus. He didn't come with excellence of speech. He didn't come with all this wisdom and philosophy. Goes on to say, "I was with you in weakness, in fear." It is so hard for me to imagine the Apostle Paul fearful, because what he endured. And when you think about it, that's real bravery, is to go through the persecutions that Paul encountered and he still pressed on. That's bravery. Bravery is not the absence of fear. Sometimes it's doing it, is doing what you need to do, being fearful in spite of being fearful. You carry on in fear and in much trembling. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's the bait right there, that your faith should be based in the will, not should be based in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. And so many religions have it backwards. Put your faith in me, the presenter. That's what some religions teach. Put your faith, follow me. All Paul did was, he said, "You imitate me as I imitate Christ. If I ever get off that path, don't imitate me. Imitate me as I imitate Christ." He told Titus in Titus 2, 1, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." When you go teach and preach, you stick to the word, Titus. Teach them sound doctrine. And if we do, we will have the results. What are the results when the doctrine is preached? In Acts 2, after Peter and the apostles' great lesson on the day of Pentecost, it says, after this, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized." Amen. Not all gladly received the word. Those are some of those people that may not have, maybe they rejected the word. Maybe they understood the word, but couldn't do what was required of them, because Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." I don't want to be baptized. But those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. they continued to grow. It wasn't like they slid into third and were done. So many people see baptism as the end result. Baptism is the start. We see here in verse 42, after they were baptized, they continued to grow. They stayed true to the things that they'd been being taught. They strengthened themselves and grew through fellowship. You can't grow without fellowship. Without people, you know, supporting you, encouraging you along. The breaking of bread, we did that today. Remembering the Lord's Supper and prayers. Those are the things that make people stronger. When we never, ever, ever want to forget to give God the glory. When we are fishers of men, and yes, you can do it. And again, I want to encourage you, you men, we're going to soon be having a practice training class. And I'm going to ask some of the men to help out with that. And you'll have no excuse. Well, I was never taught. You're going to be. You're going to be. You're going to have the opportunity. I'll put it that way. Some of you might have to drag kicking and screaming to the class, but you'll have the opportunity to be able to do those things. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. People were having issues and they were thinking, well, Paul baptized me. Well, I was baptized by Apollos. Have you seen how powerful of a speaker Apollos is? He's mighty in the word. Apollos baptized me. The apostle Peter baptized me. It don't matter. We all have a part in it. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, helped them grow. But who caused the increase? It was God. Amen. Paul doesn't take the credit for it. Apollos isn't taking the credit for it. God gave the increase. Get a picture of Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam wants you. Jesus wants you to be fishers of men in our day-to-day life. Not everybody gets the opportunity to deliver a lesson from up here. That's okay. But every one of us has the opportunity to be a fisher of men. To present the gospel to others. And it may, the opening of that door may just be the way we live, how we conduct ourselves different than the people in the world. It may start with a question. They see that and they ask us a question. And then we can become fishers of men. I encourage you, men, keep an eye out. I'll be making an announcement when that class gets going. We'll have a sign-up sheet and so forth. Like I said, so I might be dragging some of you to that class, okay? We never want to end an assembly without offering the invitation. There may be some of you that the word has been presented. You may have been being taught some way across a kitchen table, coming here, whatever, the word of God. And you're to the point to where you want to gladly receive that word and be baptized. Just like in Acts 2. You may already be baptized. You may already be in the kingdom. But there may be sin in your life that you need to repent of. You may need prayers. We'll be glad to pray with and for you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.